God was proven faithful to Paul, and he will with you as well, regardless of what happens. Regardless of what happens to us when we live for him. So speak up. Speak up. Be salt. Be light. Because you have a calling from God Almighty as a Christian to bring hope to those around you. He wants to do something great in you for him and for his kingdom. So don't worry what others might say. Don't worry what others may do. Paul didn't. Timothy didn't. And neither should we. Second Timothy. We're going to continue in this in Second Timothy chapter 3. Let's take a look at a summary statement, if you would. Paul reminds Timothy, as well as us, to stay faithful to Christ by following godly examples, enduring hardship, and remaining grounded in God's word. Okay? Let's take a look at the outline. Number one, follow a godly example, verses 10 and 11. Follow through in difficult times, 11 through 13. Follow the truth, verses 14 and 15. And follow God's word, verses 16 and 17. So let's follow along today as we dive into 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 through 17. Okay, some great, great verses right here that we want to take a look at. So take a look at verse 10 here. It says, but you, now notice that right there, you, he's talking to Timothy right now. He says, you are different. You're different than, and there's a contrast between him and those verses that we learned about last week, verses 1 through 9. There was a huge list. And Paul's talking to Timothy and he's saying, you're different. He says, you have carefully, if you're taking notes, underline that, highlight that, or circle that word right there. You have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. Now watch this. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and of all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse. Isn't that something? Now, I don't know about you. Going from bad to worse in society, do you notice that at all? Or is it just kind of me? All right, so we're on the same page. So I see that happening as well. Deceiving and being deceived. Verse 14, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I look at that and I go, wow, this is a powerful, powerful passage. Now, Father, help us today to be able to learn and grasp the things that are found in your word. Help us, Lord, to draw close to you. Teach us, maybe for the very first time, or if we've heard these passages before, renew in us what these precious words say to us. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Paul, he's speaking to Timothy. Remember, he's nearing the end of his life right here, and it's like his parting words to young Timothy. And it's to his friend. It's to his brother, his co-worker, his co-laborer in Christ. And he says, you followed me, and you did it carefully, meticulously, closely, faithfully, intentionally. Timothy watched Paul, and then imitated Paul. Paul set a biblical example for others to follow in his footsteps, and Timothy was one such person. as he was constantly watching and learning. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Paul says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Now, can you say the same thing as Paul? I hope so. I hope that's one of the desires of your heart. And why should we have that attitude? Because there are many young Timothys that are out there that are watching and wanting to pattern their lives after someone who is different, one who loves the Lord, one that knows the truth, that knows Jesus Christ, one that loves the Word of God and wants to uphold the truth and finish strong for Jesus Christ. So Timothy followed Paul closely. The question for all of us to ask is, who are we following closely? Who is it that we're following close? Now, every disciple of Jesus Christ should be able to say that they have a Paul for whom they are following and learning, and a Timothy with whom we are leading. Word of caution, we all need to be very careful who we choose to follow. For we become whom we hang out with. We become just like the person that we are associating with. If we follow marginal believers, we'll end up being a marginal believer. If we follow an arrogant believer, then we become prideful. Negative begets negativity, selfishness. You become greedy. The truth is, we become like the people that we associate with. Timothy walked with Paul, and he saw Paul, and he wanted to be like him and imitated Paul because Paul was imitating Jesus Christ. The scripture says that Timothy carefully followed Paul. In what area did he follow Paul carefully? He followed Paul carefully in doctrine. In doctrine. Scripture gives us a glimpse into that right there. Acts chapter 20 and verses 26 and 27. Here's what Paul states. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you, here it is, the whole counsel of God. There it is right there. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In Acts 18 and verse 11, you see that Paul stayed just a little bit over a year and a half teaching the Word of God to the people at Corinth. Teaching what? Teaching Christ crucified. That he died for the sins of mankind, and according to the scriptures, was buried and then rose on the third day. What was he teaching? He was teaching the gospel. It is what we have in our hands today, the Word of God, the gospel. That's what he was doing. Paul's theology rested and was interwoven with Christology, soteriology, and eschatology. In other words, Paul had a great strong biblical conviction. Timothy is to continue to follow him in these things. Now, here's the charge that I see for me and maybe for you as well, and that is to continue in the things of this right here until we take our last breath. Continue in these things. Don't deviate regarding the things that are in the Bible. I heard recently that when we abandon this book, we abandon God. What else? Verse 11 says here, his manner of life. In other words, his conduct, his purpose, his faith, his long suffering. That's his patience, his love, and his perseverance. John MacArthur notes that in the Greek text, the definite article te equals the English the, and it precedes each of the descriptive nouns found in verses 10 and 11, grammatically connecting each of the progressive pronouns my, and therefore giving it repeated emphasis. In other words, the idea is that you followed my doctrine, my teaching, my conduct, my purposes, and so on. I find this fascinating. It is a description of a man that is truly convicted to follow that of Jesus Christ. You might say, I can't do that. I can't be that person. I can't be the kind of person that says, follow me, follow my doctrine. I'm just too much full of sin. Well, that's not what John 1:9 declares. He says it differently. He says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Amen. So yes, you can. Yes, you can. You might say, I'm just too weak of a Christian. Well, thank goodness that you're weak, because when you are weak, he is strong. See, the power of the Holy Spirit can then use you. Listen, be reminded often, he saved you and he equips you to do his work, the work of God, as you breathe and live in this world. Now remember, Paul was saying all this to Timothy in light of what has already been said in verses 1 and 9 that we learned from last week, which was a great big list of how people were living. It was a cutting exposure and accusations of false teachers, which so blatantly lived a double life, a double standard. So hold fast, no matter what the pressure, this is what Paul is telling Timothy, no matter what the difficulties, regardless of what evil rears its head, hold fast. Follow his manner of life, follow his purpose, follow his faith, his long suffering, his love, and his perseverance. Follow that. Now, for the sake of time, let's get going here, okay? Because I could go on, and actually, I think I'm going to, okay? So here we go. So the list continues. Take a look at verse 11 there. The persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra. What persecutions, Paul says, I endured. Watch this. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Not out of some, not out of many, out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecutions. Now, don't use this passage right here if you're trying to get someone to come to Jesus Christ. Okay, they're going to say, no way. And I probably would too. There's other better passages. Now notice in verse 11 here, persecutions and afflictions. Persecutions and afflictions. And yet the Lord delivered him. How do I know that the Lord delivered him? Notice this, Acts 14:19. Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. These people did not want Paul in their city. The term persecutions here in Timothy chapter 3 literally means to chase or to pursue with repeated acts of hostility. They were as persistent as a wart virus. You just can't get rid of those things. Because my wife has one, so. Oh, wait a minute. I shouldn't have said that. Now notice this. The persecutions and the afflictions, notice they're in plural form, not singular. Verse 20 of Acts 14. However, I like this. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and then he went back into the city. Now listen, it's nearly impossible for someone to get up and walk away after a beating like this, unless you're, you know, like this, right? But other than that, but if it was not for the Lord. Now notice, Paul says it was the Lord who delivered me. Look at that. The Lord delivered me. You know how I know that? Because it says it right here in verse 11. I'm looking right at it. Are you looking at it with me? Anyway, he endured them, which means literally to bear up or carry a heavy load and not giving in and not giving up, not throwing in the towel, so to speak. He endured. He endured. For us, maybe for you, endure. Don't throw in the towel. Do not give up. Don't give in. when it comes to life, when it comes to the things of the Word of God, don't throw in the towel. I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with that temptation will also make a way of an escape so that you may be able to bear it. In other words, because you are His child, He's got you. He's got you. He's got you, and that's why you can endure. That's the reason why Paul could endure, and that's why he challenged Timothy, endure, because you are His, you are God's, and that's why we can endure as well. God was proven faithful to Paul, and He will with you as well, regardless of what happens. Regardless of what happens to us when we live for Him. So, speak up. Speak up. Be salt. Be light. Because you have a calling from God Almighty as a Christian to bring hope to those around you. He wants to do something great in you for Him and for His kingdom. So don't worry what others might say. Don't worry what others may do. Paul didn't. Timothy didn't. And neither should we. I'm reminded what David said in Psalm 34:19. He says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and away we go, that the other guy? Remember when he was thrown into the fiery furnace? And what did they say? They said, our God will deliver us. And He did. He was with them. He will be with you as well. Don't forget that. Therefore, live for Him. We only have so much breath. And let me tell you, it's going quicker and quicker, that breath, for some of you, okay? Looking right at you, sister. Verse 12, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Look at that, all, without exception. But notice what it says, desire. It has that term desire. You're persistent to live a godly life. You have passion to live a godly life. You're pursuing a godly life. You're trying to live a godly life. It has been said that the pursuit of godliness is costly now, but eternity will show it to be worth the cost of commitment. I often think of Charlie Kirk. While I do not subscribe to everything that the New Testament commentator William Hendrickson believes or teaches, but the one thing I do agree with him is that scars are the price which every believer pays for his loyalty to Christ. Many years ago, I knew of a pastor friend of mine who unashamedly stood for the things of the Word of God. And because of that, some people in this little northern city didn't like him. He went out for lunch one day, and one of those people happened to be working in that restaurant. A few days later, I was talking with him, and he goes, you remember when I went to this restaurant? And I said, yeah. And he goes, I just got a letter. And I said, oh. And he goes, yeah, it was one of the workers. And he said, I know who you are. I know you visit our restaurant. And this is what I did in your soup. Everyone who pursues a godly life will suffer persecution, which may include physical abuse. But I think for us in North America, I think it can and will include being socially outcast. I taught an adult class many years ago, and we had Dr. Mark in there, and he was a GP. And he started coming to church, and I was pouring my life into him, and he would come. I'd bring him over to the house to have, you know, lunch or dinner, young single guy, and single guys just eat a lot. They want to eat. And so I was like, come to my house, and then Charlene will cook a big meal, and then I get to eat really good too, you know? And so he would come over often. And we would walk around the cul-de-sac. It was a great friendship. Then all of a sudden, he stopped coming. So I emailed him, hey, Mark, is everything okay? No answer. I'd call him, leave a message. Mark, hey, it's Stuart. Are you okay? Is everything good? Nothing. I'd send him another email. I'd send him a text. Finally, I'd say, hey, have I offended you? Have I offended you? Now, I guess maybe I offend people sometimes. I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. But I tried everything I could for Dr. Mark. 3 years after that, he wrote me a letter. And he said, hey, Stuart, I just want you to know, I couldn't come back to church, couldn't come back to your house because of you. I was like, great. He goes, every time I saw you, I thought of my sin. I thought about how ungodly I am. And he goes, but I'm back in church. I'm living for Jesus. Thank you for living a godly life. Now, let me tell you something. I don't think I live a godly life. But apparently, because I have the desire, the passion, and the pursuit of Jesus Christ in my life, apparently, I had to suffer a little bit of that social, being socially outcast. And that sometimes happens. John Wesley in the 1700s, it happened to him. In his diary, listen to this in his entries. Sunday a.m., May 5th, preached at St. Anne's, was asked not to come back anymore. That night on May 5th, Sunday p.m., preached at St. John's. Deacon said, get out and stay out. The following Sunday, May 12th, preached at St. Jude's. Can't go back there either. May 19th, the following Sunday, preached at St. somebody else's place. And the deacons called a special meeting and said, I couldn't return. May 19th, that night, preached on the street, kicked off the street. May 26th, preached in the meadow, chased out of the meadow as a bull was turned loose during service. June 2nd, preached on the edge of town, kicked off the highway. That night, Sunday p.m., June 2nd. That afternoon, I preached in a pastor. 10,000 people came out to hear me. If one desires to live a godly life for Christ, one will suffer persecution, but God will bless if you persist. Paul's challenging to Timothy, persist. The scriptures are challenging us to persist as well. Now, will all Christians suffer persecution? I don't think so. Let me qualify this. Some Christians who serve the Lord very little are of little threat, and Satan doesn't go after them because they are of little benefit to the work of Christ. Let's just continue. Verse 13, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. In other words, don't be surprised. All the junk that goes on in this world, it will not end. It will not end. It didn't end for Paul, and he was challenging Timothy. It's not going to end in your life either, and it won't end all the junk and garbage for us as the church either. Until Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes back. And he is coming back one day. We have no clue when, what day, what hour, or nothing. We don't know. And because of that, we need to learn to deal with all that junk. And that begins by realizing that if you desire to live a godly life, you're a threat to the system of darkness. Listen, I got to move faster. Can you listen faster?
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad. First service is like, I just woke up. Okay. We got to move as fast as Elizabeth Taylor and her marriages, right? All of her husbands. Like a knife fight in a phone booth. Some of you old people know what a phone booth is. Okay. All right. Let's go on here. But you must continue in these things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul says you must continue, remain, abide, be consistent, cling to those things that you have learned. It has been said that the best antidote for deception is the truth of God's word. I'm reminded of that movie, Catch Me If You Can. It was a counterfeiter who the FBI eventually hired because he had studied money so well, he could spot a fake a mile away. He knew what was real, he knew what was correct, and what was not. The best way that you and I can stay on track is by being and staying in this book right here. If we know this book, we will not stray. We will not go astray. The study of the word eventually leads us to reflect upon our own life. And then we begin to study our life. And then what happens? Change happens. Know the Holy Scriptures, for it will make you wise unto salvation. Take a look at what David Guzik says. Many people are wise in many different things. Wise for cars, wise for money, wise for health, wise for cooking. That's not me. Wise in computers. But are we also wise for salvation? This is the most important wisdom one can ever have. Wisdom, where does this wisdom come from? The Holy Scriptures. In and of itself, the Bible does not save us, but it is only through the Bible that we can receive God's truth about Jesus and put faith in Him. Are you wise to salvation? Listen, nothing in this world matters as much as this right here. Have you had your sins forgiven? Your shame, your fear wiped away? Listen, you are not a mistake. And the God of this Bible wants to come alongside of you, love you, save you, change you, and then do something great in you for His kingdom. Have you turned to Him? Have you done that? Have you called out to Him? Have you said, Lord, save me, change me, and take me to heaven someday? The Bible teaches that today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, not next week, and not when you get your act together. Today is the day of salvation. Call on Him. He will hear you. He will answer you. He will save you, make you brand new, and give you a purpose for the kingdom of God. He will wipe your shame away, and He will wipe your fear away and all of your guilt. He did it for me. He'll do it for you, just like He's done it for a billion other people. Mark 10:45 states this, "For the Son of Man did not come into this world to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many." He came to offer hope, forgiveness, He came to cleanse, and He came to save, to give us a purpose. Take a look at Ephesians 2:8-9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." What is a gift? A gift is something that someone else buys and pays for and says, "Here, I want you to have this." If you try and buy it, it's no longer a gift. If you try and earn it, it's no longer a gift. If you try and work for it, it's no longer a gift. All you have to do is receive it, the gift of salvation. When it comes to salvation, all we have to do is receive the free gift that is offered by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, by saying, "Yes, save me, change me, and take me to heaven." Have you done that? Truly reached out to God? If not, why not? Why not? You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Be wise unto salvation, as the Scripture teaches. Wise unto salvation that is through faith in Jesus Christ. What else does Paul have to say? Thanks for asking. Verses 16 and 17. "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Why? Verse 17. "That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." There's that word "all" again. No exceptions. All Scripture. What we have is given by God to us. This is why we can trust it. The early church viewed this Holy Scripture as being divinely breathed. And that's the way that we should look at it as well. The Scriptures are the voice of God. Next to salvation, this right here is the greatest gift that God has ever given mankind. Written by men, yes. men that were moved by the Spirit of God. And that's why it is profitable or helpful for doctrine, for what is right, for reproof, for what is wrong, for correction, how to get right, and instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. The Bible and everything in it is profitable. There is nothing more profitable in the world than His Word. Martin Luther said this, "The Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands. It lays hold of me." And it does. The Word of God is either absolute or obsolete, says Vance Havner. And you know the old saying, when the Bible becomes part of you, you're less likely to fall apart. And a Bible in a hand is worth two on the shelf. Now, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Good news that is rooted in Jesus Christ. For reproof, what needs to change. It tells us what sin is and it keeps us from sin. Correction to bring us back, to restore us to where we once were. And finally, instruction in righteousness. The Bible gives us instruction, guides us. It molds us into righteousness. It keeps us on the straight path. So Paul reminds Timothy and us as well, the importance of the Holy Scriptures. Now let's look at the last verse and then some final thoughts here, okay? And the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We see the effect on followers of Christ if we follow Scripture, so that we will be complete, useful, sufficient. To what extent? Thoroughly. For what? For every good work. If we follow this right here, God's greatest gift to mankind next to salvation. Matthew Henry says this, "If we consult the Scriptures, which was given by the inspiration of God, and follow its directions, we shall be made men of God, perfect and thoroughly furnished to every good work." The power of God's Word. It is fascinating. God equips God's people to do the work of God. All we need to do is lean in on Him by leaning into His Word. Now, let me tell you, a hockey player will not go out onto the ice without the proper equipment. A contractor will not begin building a building without the proper plans. A good plumber cannot be a good plumber without the proper tools. You can't fix cars unless you have the right equipment. This is our equipment right here. This is our blueprint. This is what we are to follow, the Word of God. Now, how else are we going to glorify Jesus Christ in our homes? How else are we going to glorify the Lord as we try and parent our kids and our grandkids? And it does so much more than just that. God's Word does a lot. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The Word is good. Let's trust His Word. It's for our good. It's for the good of others. This right here makes your life count. You and I were made for a purpose. He wants to do something great in you for His kingdom. He has a calling on your life, a godly calling. Let me give some points to ponder here. Timothy carefully followed Paul. His doctrine, his conduct, his purpose, his faith, love, and perseverance. Who are you following closely? We need a Paul to follow and a Timothy to lead. Our lives should be worthy of imitation. Paul, he experienced real persecution and affliction, yet the Lord delivered him. Godliness does not guarantee an easy life. Therefore, do not give up. Do not give in. Stay the course. And number three, follow the truth. Remain, abide, stand on, and cling to His Word right here until your dying breath.